I want you to go with me tonight to Psalm 107. And I've been digging some stuff out of here with the help of the Lord that has just absolutely thrilled my soul. And my soul has been thrilled by this chapter in recent days. And I'm going to be preaching from the last portion of Scripture in Psalm 107, beginning in verse number 33. And I want you to stand with me while I read my text this evening. Psalm 107, beginning in verse number 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and water springs into dry ground. Now there's an understood person in here. I want you to understand that every time it says He, it's talking about the Lord. And the reason I know that is because the first verse of Psalm 107 starts out with, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." And then after that, it just says, He.
Right.
Says right. Him a few times. But every time, He's the understood person in this text. So when you see He, realize that it's God that did that. So let me read that to you again, verse 33, because I want you to see what He did. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are menaced and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I want to preach on how God turns the dry ground into water springs. Well, I guess if I have a title for this, it's Hardiness in Our Habitation. God gives us hardiness in our habitation. It wasn't always hardy. But it is now that we're saved. God just put it on me tonight, and I'm looking forward to saying it. And you may not be getting what I got out of it yet, because I ain't preached it yet. It's kind of like them songs that Come Thou Fount, and all them songs that went over in the morning, and when He first started on them, we didn't really, you know, we'll understand it. We'll understand it better after we get into it. Amen. Because what these verses do is it causes us to recall and remember where we started, and then to reminisce where we are, and then to rejoice because of what God's done for us in the place that we are now. We need to remember where we came from. So let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer and ask His blessings now upon this time. Father, we are indeed grateful that You've allowed us this privilege. And Father, I want to thank You for this camp meeting. God, how I needed it, how it blessed my heart. I needed to be here. Lord, I want to thank You for working it out that I could be. I know that it's in Your divine providence. I wouldn't have been here had You not allowed me to be. So God, it's a door that no man could shut. And I'm glad You opened it. Lord, help us to realize that You rule in the affairs of men. And we're here because You have ruled it so. God, You've allowed it, and it's in Your will for us to be here. For every young person that's here, it's Your will. For every dad and mom, every grandpa and grandma, God, every child of God, and every sinner, it was Your will for them to be here tonight and this week. And we want to thank You for, God, this open door. Lord, we want to thank You for Your grace and Your mercy that You've extended to us. Lord, it's so good to be able to call You Father.
Yes, it is.
It's good to be able to call You Savior.
Yes.
It's good to be able to call you my Redeemer. My Lamb, my King, my Prince of Peace, my Comforter, my soon coming King. Oh, Father, I pray that tonight you just help me. Lord, I feel like you're helping. I feel like you're going to help me. Lord, I believe you've got your hand on this message in my heart tonight. And oh, God, I just pray. Lord, help me to get it out. Oh, God, help me to get it out. Lord, and make it plain. And God, explain it and express it. Lord, don't let me miss a thing that you want me to say. I pray your help now in this time. We need you. Lord, we want to thank you for the liberty that you've given us to worship, to praise, to thank you. God, help us, Lord, to be more thankful in these days that are ahead because of what we've heard. Help us, God, not just to be hearers, but doers. Lord, remind us. That's how you can help us. Just remind us of what we've heard. Lord, help us to mix it with faith and believe what we've heard to be the truth. God, then it'll bring forth that fruit that will be under great life in our lives and for the help of others. They'll be able to eat our fruit. They'll be able to see our fruit. They'll be able to say it's sweet. God, I pray now you just guide me. Direct me. I'm willing to follow you, Lord. As they sung, God, before I sang, I'm willing to follow you into this text. I'm willing to follow you through life after I leave this text. Yes. Lord, to do what you ask me to do in these days that are ahead. God, I pray, oh God, that I might plow, that I might preach, and I might plant like I never have before. God, I pray, Lord, we might leave this place, oh God, benefited in a greater way than we've ever been benefited before. Lord, help us to leave this place ready to serve you, happy, glad to be constrained, not because we love you, but because you love us. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. For us to remember where we came from and all those things that I dealt with just before prayed. But I want to deal with this loving kindness of God before I ever get into this message. That is that, well, I've used this illustration before and some of you have heard it, but I'm going to use it again anyways. I was raised in the country and country people do things like country people do things. I mean, they do things a little different. And my family, my friends, always left the key at the back door to let me in case they weren't there. And, you know, there's always a key. There's always a verse of Scripture in the Psalms. In each chapter, there's a verse that unlocks that chapter. It tells us the theme of it and gives us the, I guess you could say, the subject of it. And there's a vein that runs through those Psalms, just like our songs that we sing. When we sing a song, every song has a title, and that title is the vein of that song. And what you got to remember is that these are songs that were sung, and so there's a vein that runs through them. And I believe the vein of this chapter is found in verse 43, where it says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things." Now that word "observe" does not mean just a glance at them. It has to do with staring at them. It has to do with gazing into them. It has to do with contemplation and meditation and living them, going into them and living them.
Right.
I'm a lot like my daddy. My daddy cannot watch. He can't watch anything that is tense or stressful because he lives it. And I have a little bit of that character in me. I got some of my daddy's jeans, not the ones that I wear. He doesn't wear as big jeans as I do. But I got the other kind of jeans, you know. The kind that you know, you just can't do anything about because of who your daddy is. And whenever I'm watching a suspenseful thing, I live that thing. The first time I ever watched a crazy movie, something about a mountain and people going over this mountain, and I tell you, I lived that. I could not watch it. I just couldn't live because I live what I look at. I live it. And so I believe that's what the psalmist is wanting us to do in these verses.
Right.
He's wanting us to observe them. He's wanting us to live in them for a while and put ourselves in the place what it is that's being spoken about the kind of people that are being spoken about.
Right.
I preached it here on Sunday evening at the kickoff of this camp meeting at the church. I preached on a home for the homeless. That's what the first story is about. God giving somebody who was a wanderer in the wilderness who lived alone, lived a lonely, solitary life. God took them out of that and put them, gave them a home. gave him a place to live. God gave us His church, and He gave us heaven, and we've got a home, amen. And then the next portion of Scripture talks about help for the hostages. Those that are locked up in a prison, how God frees them. And then the next one talks about healing for the hurting. How God takes those that have been sick because of sin, or sick because of the onslaught of the devil, and they've been healed by God, and He's delivered them out of their distresses. Then the other one was a hope in the haven. Those sailors, they get in that storm, and all they think about is getting out of the storm and getting into the haven of rest, getting to the refuge. And it's a storm like they'd never been in before, because other storms subsided, but that one didn't, until they cried out to God. So now, but this one here has to do with our habitation, or where we live, and how God gave us hardiness in our habitation. Where we live now, we have hardiness. Because of a work of grace. Because of a work of God. Because God loved us and didn't leave us in our first estate. Got us, hallelujah, got us out of that horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set our feet on a rock and established our goings and put a new song in our mouth. And it's praise to God, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord when they see what God has done for us. Amen. When they see what great things God has done for us, He'll make them hungry. He'll make them thirsty. He'll make them want God. He'll make them want what we have in God. Amen. Well, I like it. God took me back to where I used to be for a while in this text. And it's not wrong to look at where he used to be. In Isaiah 51, he tells us to do something. And here's what he tells us to do. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. You know what he's telling them to do? He's telling them to go back to where they used to live. He wants them to remember when they were hewn from the rock and made stones, lively stones, out of that rock. We're pieces of the rock. That's why it calls us lively stones. He said, remember the rock from whence ye are hewn. We became stones as He is. So are we in this world. And He was the stone which the builders rejected. But He was made head of the corner. And it was marvelous in our eyes. And God has taken us and hewn us out of Himself. And we are His stones. Amen. Gems of God. Jewels of God. That's why we're called jewels. Because we were taken from the rock. But I don't think it's just any kind of old... I got to thinking about it one day. The rock. You know, they call diamonds rocks. And rubies, they call them rocks. Yeah. I don't think it's the rock like we think of a rock. No, sir, it's more like a diamond, our God is. More like that ruby or that jasper stone. All of them things are in Him. And He is beautiful. And when we get in Him and are hewn from Him, we are His stones. Lively stones. Not dead stones. Lively stones. I'm not in my text yet. I'm just telling you, we need to remember the rock from whence we were hewn. And the hole of the pit from whence we were digged. So what God does for me every once in a while, about once a day, it reminds me where I came from, what I would have been. If He hadn't come by my way, I'm about ready to swing a chair somewhere. I tell you, I get to thinking about where I came from, where I could be today, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the marvelous grace of God. Amen. We need to remember why we were there. Why were we there? Well, my text tells me why I was there. I don't like to remember in this way while I was there. I like to remember that he got me out of where I was. And if you look at it with me, you'll see what God did in verse 33 of Psalm 107. This is called barrenness. I do have a little outline tonight. But that's not why I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable because God put his finger on this text on me today. He told me to do some things tonight while I was preaching that I'm looking forward to getting to do. And since, you know why I'm looking forward to it? Because this is camp meeting. Uh-huh. And this is a spectator sport.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
But it's an anticipator sport.
Yeah.
So you're spectating right now, but in a minute you're going to be anticipating.
And participating.
Participating. Well, anticipating is what you're doing right now, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you're wondering what I'm going to do.
Right.
Well, I'm going to have fun. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's camp meeting, buddy, and I'm planning on remembering some things. And I like to remember where I used to be. Because it makes where I am now a whole lot better. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm enjoying it already. See, he turneth rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground. It was God that made us dry. God's the one who made us thirsty. It was God that dried up all the things that we were holding on to. It was God. It was a work of God. All them things I used to trust in and depend on, he dried them up. He dried up my religion. He dried up the world. He dried up all peace I had. He dried up my rivers. And my tongue started hanging out of my mouth. Amen. I found out I didn't have what it took. And guess who did that? I'm telling you. Guess who? Yes. He. He turned the rivers into dry in the wilderness. And the water springs in a dry ground. He does it. I'm trying to emphasize it. I'm trying to punch it. I want you to see it. Amen. You can punch it. Amen. So God did that for me, Brother Shipman. God did that for me. I like to think about that. I like to think about him turning all them things that I thought were water into dry ground, into a wilderness. Until everywhere I stepped, it wasn't nothing but dust. And got up in my face and got all over me. And I got sick of being dry. In a fruitful land and a barrenness. Everything I did became barren. There was no fruit in it. Yeah, I do too. I remember. Get out of here. I sucked one of them down my goozle one night while I was preaching. I don't want him down there. He was a stranger and I took him in. But I didn't want him there. Amen. So, he turned all that fruitfulness that I thought, you know how he did it? He took that axe, took that old gospel preacher, like John the Baptist, and he started whacking at my roots. Now, he didn't just cut down the tree. See, there's hope of a tree if it's cut down. According to the book of Job, that it could grow again. Just at the scent of water. That tree could, because the roots down there are still alive. But what God did was he laid his axe to the root of the trees. He took out the tap root. And I didn't have nothing to tap into anymore. He dried up my fruit. He dried up the way I used to live and the things that I used to enjoy. They weren't even to be found anymore. I couldn't even find them anymore.
Yeah, he took them all away.
I'm enjoying this. I sure am. I really feel good, and I don't mind feeling good. And I don't go by my feelings, but I know when God's got his finger on something, and I know he's got his finger on this. But I'm telling you, if you ever get dry and God ever dries up what it is you're depending on because it's not him, you really will get dry. Wasn't that profound? You thought I was going to say something real profound. Well, amen. He turned all that. He turned it all. Turned it all around on me. Brother Rob, I'm glad he did that.
That's right.
Brother Pascal, I'm glad. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he did that.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy at the time.
That's
exactly right. But the one thing that I would not agree with was the reason that it was dried up. And that's found in verse 34. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein. See, when the Holy Ghost put his finger on what I really was.
Boy, that's something.
When I found out that all my good works, my righteousnesses, were as filthy rags. They were not acceptable to God.
That's right, brother.
And tell me, when he put his finger on, the reason that it was dried up was because I was wicked.
Yep.
Right.
I was an enemy of God.
Right.
By wicked works.
Yeah. Right. I hated the
life.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. You're right.
Well, I hit that point. The Lord said, go on, go on. So I'm going on.
Amen.
That barrenness was brought about because of my deviation from the truth.
Right.
See, there was drought and devastation as a result because of my deviation.
Right.
Because I turned from the things of God willingly. But hey, listen, when I turned back to church and I felt pretty good for a while about it, I ate a little fruit. God said, it still ain't good enough, so I'm going to have to take your fruit away too.
Right.
So he just took my fruit too. See, out in that world, he dried up everything. When I came back into religion, he even took the fruit away. Until he put his finger on what I really was.
Right. You're right.
Oh, happy day.
Yes.
That fixed my choice.
Yes.
On thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures. Oh, abroad.
Yes,
happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day my sins away. What did he wash away? My sins. He put his finger on who I was.
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you, God.
He showed me why I wandered out of the way.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Right.
Amen. I said I was going to my next point, and I am. But I'm heading there. But I know how to put my foot on the throttle and pull a load, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I got a bigger engine than what I'm preaching with tonight than I got out there in this parking lot.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God I can pull a load. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Man, I know why I can do it.
Come on.
Because he's with me.
Yes, sir.
Because his yoke.
Yeah.
The word yoke means plural, two. The word yoke means two. Which means I don't pull alone.
That's right.
He makes me look good. I'm just saying, this is good, Lord.
Right.
Boy, he's a pulling good. Oh, yes. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Well, how do you do it? How do you get me to my bountiful life? How do you get me there? Through barrenness.
Right.
He devastated me.
Right.
Absolutely. He wiped me out.
Totally
wiped it out.
Yeah, thank you, God.
So I could see my need. Amen. Well, now not only do I see the barrenness, but I see the bountifulness. Now the barrenness speaks of famine, but the bountifulness speaks of favor. So that takes... I gotta go to a text, the scripture, to find out how God turneth the wilderness into a standing water. Well, in other words, this is a totally different, 100% different, 90 degree turn. Is that how you say it? 180? I don't know. I never was good in that. All I know was it means I'm going another way. Amen. I'm living in reverse. And the whole world thinks I'm crazy because I'm driving around in reverse. Amen. I'm going a totally different direction. Amen. But he did it. Now, how did he do it? Well, he worked that devastation until I got thirsty. Well, go meet Isaiah 41. Let me show you what he does. You already know this, but I'm gonna preach it. Because it has to do with... Because I'm going somewhere where I'm looking for participation here a little bit. I'm going to have some.
Okay.
I'm heading there.
And I'm ready.
Isaiah 41:17.
Yep.
When the poor and needy
seek
water,
Amen.
There is none.
That's right.
N-O-N-E, none.
No.
Devastation, barrenness, drought. Their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. That word created is the same word it's used in chapter 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. It means to make something out of nothing. And that's what he did when he saved me. Hey, when the poor and needy seek water, and he gives it to them, they can say the Holy One of Israel, he hath created it. A new creature, a new created being, a new creation. Don't die on me, I ain't done yet. I'm heading somewhere. I'm heading somewhere. Now, how did he turn that? He made us poor and needy. That's what he did for us. He made us beggars. I know we've already talked about that this week, but it's good to think about it, because that's exactly what he did. He just made us a whole bunch of old beggars. Amen. And we know what it's like to have plenty now. He made us bountiful because he favored us. We went from famine to favor.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
And he gave us plenty. Now I want you to go to another verse. Isaiah 44. And verse number 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Now that's also found in Psalm 107. It's found there. I'll show it to you a little bit. Again in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Verse number 11. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. So the bountifulness is found in the plenty that I'm given. But it's also found in the people that he gives it to.
Look back in Psalm 107, verse number 35. He turneth the wilderness into standing water, and the dry ground into water springs. Now, I want to say something about that before I go to the people. Water springs. It's not just a well, it's a spring. It's exactly what he said to the woman at the well. It shall be in you a well of water springing up. Gushing. That word springing means gushering. Goosh, goosh, goosh. Hey, it goes into the thought. I got thinking about this one day. I've had a lot of people try to cap off my water spring. I had a lot of them try to do it. Put a cap on it. We'll shut him down. Do you know what a water spring will do if you cap it off one place where it's... It'll bust out a hole somewhere else.
Right.
Go ahead. Plug me up. I'll find another place to spit. Amen. I'll find another place to just... You can't stop a water spring. You cannot stop a water spring.
Tell him.
Never tried to shut you off. If the devil ever tries, or anybody else ever tries, he's going to be found a loser.
That's right.
I've had him try it, brother. And I don't believe they're done trying.
No, sir.
I don't believe the war's over yet. But it's a good fight. The reason it's a good fight is because I'm winning. It's a bad fight, buddy, if the other guys are beating you up, but it's a good fight because you're doing the whooping.
You're right.
You don't talk about the ones you lost in. You don't know, sir.
You're right, brother. We don't talk.
But if you win, man, well, I'll tell you, you just be telling about that.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a physical fight. I'm talking about that good fight of faith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, I'm in it too, buddy. I plan on staying in the ring all the way. Amen. Hey, I'm saying to you, I got a water spring. You just don't, you can't plug it off. Because of who it is. Not because of what it is. The fountain of living waters. The fountain has to do with water springs. An underground artesian well. Which means it has pressure behind it all the time. So I got constant pressure on it all the time. Just can't stop it. Cap it off, amen. One thing I found out about it is you can't see it until it pops out.
Right.
The way you find out if there's any water there is when you tap into it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Follow me now, amen. Just keep on following me. Just keep on following me. I'm going somewhere. There's plenty in this bountiful land. There's plenty. And it's the people that have the plenty. Who are they? Well, there he maketh the hungry to dwell. Oh, boy. Here's what a good part. I'm looking forward to this. Yes, I am. He maketh the hungry to dwell, the people. He makes them to dwell there. Why are they dwelling there? That they may prepare a city for habitation. For who? For the hungry.
Right.
To dwell in.
Yep. Yes.
Who's doing the preparing? The people that know God.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Well, how are they doing it? They sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. Ooh, man. How do you do it? Well, go to Isaiah 28. I want to look at another verse. And then I'm going to do something. I told you I plan on participation. We're going. We're heading there. Hey, I'm just making you antsy. I'm doing kind of what Brother Rob does. I'm waiting till the end.
Yeah, he does that.
I'm trying to explain it, though, first. Not wait till you get all done. So, amen. Brother Rob is a master at that. And then when he gets done, he says, oh, that's where he was headed. But that's good. That keeps you edgy, right? Well, he said in Isaiah 28:23, give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Well, this is an understood question. Sure. Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof? He smoothed it out, made it plain. Like Brother Bob preached today, Brother Ogeron preached today, about the explaining the text. Huh? Making it, he makes it plain. And he doth cast abroad the fixes and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place. Why does he do it? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. So, what are we doing? Come on. Come on. We got to plow. We got to plow. Come on. We got to plow. We're plowing. We're plowing. Okay, here we go. We're plowing. Well, this is good. I'm enjoying it. I'm plowing. Well, got some participators. Amen.
Hey, you missed the spot over there.
Right here. Okay, we got it now. Good. Storm's still plowing. Amen.
That was the old four-wheel drive track.
Whew.
He may have been plowing, but he was steering.
Yeah. Now let me get my breath.
We got to plow. That's the way God instructs us.
That's how God doth instruct the plowman. You know what he's telling us to do, preacher?
Plow.
Plow. Plow. But remember something. It wouldn't have done us any good to plow until God made that dry ground water springs.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
But now we got a good field to plow in.
Right.
Because our God has blessed us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We got a good field to plow in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting it. You're getting it. Keep participating. Think about it. Think.
Right there. Where God
turns. Amen.
That's where we're
going to
plow.
Amen. Yep. Right.
That's
exactly right. We're going to keep plowing that furrow. Keep on plowing it. And after we plow it, we spread all that fertilizer on it, all that, those minerals to make what we get out of it good for somebody to eat. Amen. Yeah, good ground now. We make that face of it plain. We get all them hard places out and all that root, all them roots. Hey man, how do you do that? You preach. You preach some more. You preach some more. You preach some more. You preach and you preach and you preach. Preach. And preach. Put your hand to the plow. We got a reason to plow.
That's right.
Because we've got an instructor who has taught us not to take shortcuts.
Yes, sir.
A lot of men are preaching in a no-till Baptist church. They're throwing the seed out on the ground, and the ground's not even prepared. Slinging seed everywhere, and they're talking about how they're preaching the word and slinging the seed, and they're not even plowing the furrows of the heart.
You're right.
They're plowing on a bunch of dry ground that'll never yield an increase.
Right.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, you're doing right.
I like this. I thought, boy, you're participating good. I knew you would. Amen. Well, we've been plowing and preparing. They're preparing that soil, preparing that ground. They prepare it by plowing first. Then they get it smooth. They make it plain. Then they put all that fertilizer. Then they sow the seed. And they sow the good seed. What the Bible talks about, amen. Good, not just any seed. That good seed, buddy. That's good. That's incorruptible seed.
That's right.
They don't get corrupted, amen. It's God. word.
And
then the Holy Ghost continues to. The water springs are still there, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
The water, the Holy Ghost keeps.
Right. Yeah.
Throwing that water down on. And there's minerals in that water, too.
Yeah.
Makes that. Oh, yeah. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Right.
Now, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are those of us who lived in that dry land, and it was because of our wickedness, and God put his finger on it, and he saved us.
Right.
When the poor and needy cried, the Lord heard him.
Yeah.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles.
Yeah. Right.
Brother Mike, I am enjoying this. I'm telling you I am.
I believe you are.
I feel like I could preach for 3 hours.
Oh, boy.
I really do. I'm telling you. And I feel good. I like it. I didn't even get a good nap today. When I did nap, I was thinking about this message. Some of the young people, I wasn't trying to be sacrilegious or super spiritual, but they wanted me to tell some jokes, and I'm being honest with you. I wasn't in no joke-telling mood. Boy, God was on me about this message. Somebody said, well, you're being a little quiet during are you all right, Brother Tim? Brother Bernie said, you all right? I said, I'm fine. You look a little like you're worried about something. I ain't worried. I just want to do right. But if I'm gonna, I'm gonna preach a last night, buddy. I want to give you something, man, that'll say, look what great things God has done for us. How good the land is He's given us now. His bounty is on us, and it's good to do this. It's not a wearisome thing for me. It's a pleasure to do something in something that wasn't anything at one time.
Yes, sir.
And we got work
to do,
brother. It's a good work. It's a good work.
Yeah, making a place to hunger.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
We're preparing fruit and food. So that we can get around God's table of grace. Come on, around God's participate. Ain't this good? Give me some more of your stuff.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Here. Amen. That's a good table. Good spread on it. Yes, sir. Whoa. My, that was good. You know what we're doing? We're telling sinners. We're telling sinners how good it is. We're eating at the table of grace. Feasting on the riches of His grace. Resting at the sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing.
That's right.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Yeah, that's
amen. I'm feasting. I'm feasting. It's because of all the good plowing this week.
Yeah, that's right.
All the preparing of the... preparing the soil, throwing in the seed, putting on the fertilizer, making it worthwhile. Hey, we're preparing a city for the hungry to dwell in. And it's a hearty habitation.
Yes, plenty of place. Yes,
dance a while. Amen. Who was lead? I guess that's smarter than me, so I guess that was a lead. Amen. That was a lead in me. Amen. Amen, Brother Jimmy. You know what you're doing all year while we're away? Y'all are plowing.
Right.
And we're out there plowing and we're telling people,
right,
we got a place over here where there's good food.
Yes.
If you ever find a restaurant where there's good food, you tell your people about it.
Right.
And you say, we need to go there sometime. I need to take you. Show you how good it is.
Yeah, let's go out to dinner.
We're preparing a city of habitation.
Place for the hungry, Brother Charles.
Place from the dwell.
Right.
Amen. I'm getting it too, brother. It's for this place, I believe.
I
do believe it. Amen. Sing it, brother. Place to dwell.
Yes,
good place. Good place to eat.
Yes.
Good place to feast.
Yes.
Oh, not without work, but it ain't hard work.
Oh, it's good work. Easy.
It's God's work. And when His good hand is upon you, you can rebuild a wall.
Yes.
You can. Oh, my soul! If I could, I'd leap right all the way over. I couldn't. I can't make it. Preacher, I'm getting help, and I feel like I'm helping that camp. I like to help you, brother. I like to help this camp. I like you.
You're helping me, brother. You're helping me.
Yes, sir. It's my home.
Yes, sir. I like
it. I can dwell here.
That's why it's called camp. Camp. Life. We stay in a while.
We're dwelling. We're dwelling in a place where there's some good food. Fields.
Yes, sir. Right.
Plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase.
Yeah, increase. Yeah. Get bigger all the time. Bigger all the time.
Fruits of increase. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Right.
And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit.
Right.
And that your fruit should remain.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, think about it.
Fruit to His account. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Am I singing too high for y'all? I don't even realize it. I don't even know it. It's just bare tone for me, buddy. I'm having myself. Y'all are participating. No, it's all right. Amen. Just be too low for me the other way, so I like to sing a word. I can beller it out. Man, I've plowed and I've eaten. We've participated. But it's been because of what God hath done for us.
Right. Yes.
Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Yes.
He lets us, He privileges us to work in His vineyard.
What an honor!
What an honor! Thank you, Lord!
That's why it's called a labor of love.
Yeah, that's right.
And God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His saints or His name. And that you minister and do minister.
Yeah.
I believe that's Hebrews 6:10. Good, good, good.
Good, good.
Get a bite of that. Look at that. Look at me.
Good.
Hey, it's even good for the ladies. Yeah, they can participate.
Sure. Yeah.
They can let other ladies know how good it is.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. To be a part of what God hath done.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That
is a blessing.
Right.
Oh, thank you, God.
Thank you for letting me preach
this.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Thank you for putting it on me.
Yeah, thank you, God.
I was kind of unworried tonight. You know, well, yeah. The service just, you know, songs just, there wasn't a whole lot of spizzerinkdom in them. It's another good word. I don't know what it means, but it's got something to do with pizzazz. Yeah, did you notice that there just wasn't no punch in the music tonight? I mean, there was a little bit, you know, we got, yeah, but y'all are doing good, man, and I'm wide open.
Man,
I feel good, boy.
We're having to dig down on that inner string.
Amen. Say, did you notice it, preacher? You noticed it. And there wasn't nothing we could do to pump up nothing. No matter how hard we tried. But God was telling me, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Not because of me. I know better than that. I'm telling you what He's done for me. And I showed y'all the book.
Right.
There's something. That's good stuff. See, I'm not just intellectually telling. I'm telling you something that I've experienced.
Right, sure. Yeah, been there. Done that.
Right. I'm preaching to you something that's not just revelation, but reality.
Yeah, something to live. That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I know that that's Brother Shipman's statement, but I like it. God give it to him, so it must be God's statement. So if God let him use that stick to whoop a devil, I guess I can pick it up and whoop him too. Amen. Just amen. I remember when it used to just be educationally understood and then it became experientially known. I remember when it was just interpretation, but now it's illumination.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was dry. I remember.
Sure.
I remember when God turned the wilderness into standing water. Well, oh boy. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. He's talking about our flock, our cattle.
Herd.
Cattle, herd, flock. Yeah, but you got to understand something, that cattle in the Hebrew language can also mean a flock. It can mean a flock. It means life. That's right, livestock. And so God has given us a great livestock.